House Education Committee to come to us. And it's Wednesday, February 24th. And the clock is gone. I have to look. Hang on a second. At 8:03 a.m. Okay. That was the House Education present bar. Councilor Representative Story, Representative Cox, Representative Trujillo, Representative President Rivoli, Representative Brad Hopkins, and Representative Ron Pendleton, and myself, Representative Henry Drummond. And we're to conduct business. Before we begin, I want to remind everyone to promise their cell phones. Today, I'll be talking to my secretary, Ms. Tammy Fuder, and Alex Davey, as our LIO moderator, Assistant Superintendent of Telecommunications. Well, thank you both. This is our first education committee meeting using laptop to use, so please be patient if there are any bugs to be worked out. We will start today with an introduction to the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development by Commissioner Michael Johnson. After that, down the meeting, we will hear an update on the FY21 student enrollment plans and COVID-19 federal relief funding from Heidi Tesler, Director of Finance and Support Services, and Lucy Sanders, Administrative Director. Please note that we will most likely be continuing with the same presentation at a future meeting. Commissioner Johnson, it's good to see you. Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you, Chair Carvin. It's great to be with you. For the record, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development. Is my audio working okay?
Yes, we hear you well. I think there may be some adjustments made in the volume
of the room, but
you're calling through the loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Well, as you said, it is great to be back. I was feeling a little bit like a famous freshman coming home from college and nobody was home when I got there, and so I am thrilled to be back with all of you, and many of you were in the community last year, and you know, just for those that may be watching at home, it's not as if we don't work together in between sessions either, and so I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. What a special honor that you allowed us to present for your first committee hearing. It's an honor for us at the Department of Education to support the work of this committee on behalf of your constituents and for all the students of Alaska. With me today is Eric Burton, our legislative liaison. She's already working with your staff, and she's going to chime in later in the presentation on a couple of slides. A special shout out to George Aska and Mary Huffalo. Thank you so much for making teams work in the committee room. That helps us all, and we very much appreciate the opportunity to have the video connection and look forward to working with you both again and hopefully getting to see you both before session's over. Madam Chair, to help ensure a smooth presentation, I'm going to go through that at the end of each slide. I'm going to say next slide, but then I'm going to pause and let you tell me when to proceed. I'll stop talking, and if there's questions, we can answer those. And then when you're ready for me to move to the next slide, just say so, and I'll keep going. Now, it may take us some practice, but just like our students, we'll figure this out and make it work. And so we'll start with next slide, and then I'll wait for you to tell me when to move on.
All right. I see the slide that begins with today's agenda.
All right, today's hearing Slide 3. Education begins and is maintained in the home. From a public policy perspective, however, it begins with the Alaska State Constitution. In fact, the Constitution is such an important document for us, it's worth me reading the brief section regarding public education. The legislature shall, by general law, establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state, and may provide for other public educational institutions. Schools and institutions shall be established, shall be free from sectarian control. No money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. Someday, when you have time, I would just suggest it is really inspiring to read through the transcripts from the Constitutional Convention that went through this section. Next slide.
Slide 4.
The State Board of Education has adopted a very clear mission and vision statement. Their mission is an excellent education for every student, every day, even when there's a pandemic. Our vision is that all students will succeed in their education and work and seek worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves. Exemplify the best values in society and be effective in improving the character and the quality of the world about them. I particularly appreciate that the State Board of Education's vision statement that I just read, in their wisdom, they decided to connect it directly with you, the legislature, by using that statute. Next slide. Slide 5. Thank you. For A, to adequately implement the legislature's responsibility to maintain a system of public education, we have to be really clear about our purpose. In our daily work, we provide information, resources, and leadership to Alaska families, schools, policymakers, and education stakeholders to support an excellent education for every student every day. Our presentation today, Madam Chair, provides an example of the information and resources and leadership that we are providing at the Department of Education. Next slide.
Is coming up very hopefully for any of that.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. That calls to make sure there's no questions, but we'll just keep going if that works better. So,
let me just say the great knowledge of the community members, particularly the new ones, just way back. We will see you put them periodically to see if you have any idea. But I hope that this introduction, it's an introduction point. If there's any questions, just let me know.
Thank you, Chair. Slide number 6. The legislature, the Alaska legislature, has made it very clear that Alaska schools are to be governed and operated by locally elected school boards. In some ways, locally elected school boards are where democracy gets closest to the family. These school boards establish policy and educational programs for the students enrolled in their schools. The legislature is given aid, quote, general supervision over public schools, with an emphasis on distributing funds appropriated by the legislature and federal government. Each authority is appropriately limited to that which is given to us by the Alaska legislature. Next slide. Slide number 7. Slide number 7. This slide more specifically describes our core functions and services as represented in your budget documents and in keeping with statutory authority. So I'm just going to go through these briefly. Number 1, public school funding. We ensure funding is appropriately distributed to recipients based on legislative appropriation and by statute and in accordance with the foundation formula, it's in statute, and other formula programs. It other tools that effectively, that we effectively and efficiently manage state and federal and other funding by providing comprehensive fiscal and administrative services. Examples of this include executive administration, that would be my office, administrative services, information services, school finance and facilities, child nutrition, student and school achievement, and teacher certification. Third, school effectiveness programs. We assist school districts by providing programs, technical on-site and distant delivery support, and early intervention services in efforts to increase the statewide graduation rate. I want to emphasize that the statute calls upon the department to assist and support the instructional programs that are chosen and operated by the locally elected school boards and school districts. Examples of this include state system of support, Head Start and early education programs, pre-kindergarten grants, Alaska Performance Scholarship Awards, Alaska Education Grants, and that's through the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And then fourth, and finally, provide opportunities for and collaborate with government entities and other public and private organizations to engage in active partnerships and pursue state educational goals. And this is where we have more student and school achievement supports through various other programs and financial support, like the Mental Health Trust, early education coordinating, like Best Beginnings, Practice Teachers, Alaska State Council on the Arts, which resides in our Department of Professional Teaching Practices Commission, managed from high school, managed from facilities, also the State Library Operations, Archives, Museums, the Broadband Assistant Program is also in there, and then also the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, and the that includes the Writing Program and Learning Services. Next slide, number 8. Here's an organizational chart for the department, which represents thousands and thousands of fantastic state employees that serve our fellow Alaskans. We are blessed with skilled and talented employees that can help support the work of this committee with expertise, with experience, and information. And I'd just like to say it's a privilege to work with all the folks here at the department. We have approximately 185 staff and distributes roughly $8.3 million per staff member in grants that go out the door. We are overseen by the State Board of Education. Alaska statute designates the State Board as the head of this department, which is unique among all state departments. And also, my supervisor is the Commissioner of Education of the department. Members of the board are appointed by the governor and are subject to confirmation by a majority of the members of the legislature in a joint session. Our practice divisions consist of innovation and education excellence, and that's our core K-12, pre-K-12 division. Second, finance and support services, they distribute financial support to district administrative services, that's our internal agency administrative support, libraries, archives, and museums, and manage from high school, the state's residential boarding school. We also have three boards and commissions in our department. They are the Alaska State Council on the Arts, the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Each one of those is overseen by a designated board established in statute. It's important to note that ACT in particular, the Post-Secondary Commission, appears under the only for administrative and budget purposes, and we actually have no authority over ACP. Next slide, slide number 9.
This might be for the budget subcommittee process, but you noted that the department has 185 staff at this time. Those are only employees under the DEED umbrella at this point.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to take that back and say, let me get back to you on that. It does not include, I don't think, the boards and commissions. That's what I'm going to do, so we'll give you a breakdown of how that looks.
I think the reason I'm going to number of employees and how that group was divided at the time and where we are today. So I'm sure there will be questions, especially in the budget subcommittee. Thank you.
Yes, I will be happy to get that historical look back. All right, slide number 9. This is a slide that I hope the committee will print out. Leave on your desk throughout the session, bring to you, with you to every committee meeting. This is the Alaska Education Challenge, and it is an opportunity for us to all focus our energy and attention together for maximum impact. In other words, it gives us shared priorities that we developed with many Alaskans, school districts, and others. And we can focus our energy on these shared priorities. Over the last 4 years, our parents, students, educators, policymakers, tribal leaders, partner organizations, local school boards, and several of you on this committee have stepped forward to answer this call to action, this call to action to create a shared vision for improving our public education system. And the result of that work is the Alaska Education Challenge. These shared priorities we know will improve outcomes for students. The first one, reading proficiency by third grade. As you know, we've gone over and over, just 37% of Alaska's third graders reading at or above grade level on some assessments. Before third grade students are learning to read, beginning in fourth grade and beyond, in general, the student needs to be prepared to learn to read across all subjects. We know lots of research shows that a person's ability to read is a critical predictor of educational and lifelong success. Reading well in the early grades is particularly important for students with high levels of socioeconomic risk, such as poverty and high mobility. Last year, we all worked together hard on a reading bill. The pandemic kind of truncated our timeline and opportunity to work on this first priority, but I really look forward to working with you again this year on both of that priority. The second one is increased CT and culturally relevant education. Alaska students who take 2 or more credits of CT at high school, including at least 1 credit of content-specific rigorous study, achieve 20% higher graduation rate. So we know that these work-based career technical, educational, and cultural learning opportunities increase their graduation rate by a significant amount. There is evidence that classroom instruction that's aligned with the student's culture increases their likelihood of success. And so we look forward to working with you on this priority. Third, close the achievement gap. Alaska has achievement gaps between student groups that are very large, such as a 54% gap in average fourth grade reading scores. An equitable education system means that every Alaska family has access to high quality, rigorous, culturally relevant learning opportunities and resources for excellent education, regardless of the inequalities that may exist in the system. Tribal contracting, for example, and chartering are examples of the kind of commitment and family ownership of education that will help ensure that all students receive an excellent education. Fourth, prepare, attract, and retain effective education professionals. And I know this committee has given great attention to that issue in past years. Nearly 2/3 of all Alaska teachers come from out of state. We need to change that. National research suggests that outcomes improve when students receive quality instruction from well-prepared teachers, and the teacher turnover negatively impacts those outcomes. Last year, the governor formed the teacher retention and recruitment and working group. Some of you have been observers on that group, and I look forward to sharing the results of that teacher retention survey and those recommendations here in the coming weeks. Thank you, co-chairs, for both of you taking some of your Saturdays and other time to be on those meetings. Thank you. January of 2017. So yes, I got to be included in this from the beginning. We started with a survey that had thousands of people respond. And then we got a big gathering in Anchorage. I remember specifically Sarah Drummond being there and patting me on the back and saying, keep going, do this work, and appreciated that kind of encouragement and getting through from there. So I got to be a part of it, but this was really a project that involved lots and lots of people around the state.
And I appreciate that. It's wonderful seeing that the commission or one of the guiding policy documents like the next day. It's always important to the success of this challenge put together. And you've heard all 5 points up here, and it's the result and the top. That's the circle that has all of the different proposals for all the different points included in the document report. Can you tell me a little bit about point number 5 in terms of safety and well-being of students? Something I've been really strong advocate for is in terms of social and emotional learning and education in schools. Especially, like you said, after the past 12 months and how hard it has been on families. Can you talk a little bit about what the department's done with the students in the school districts and what path forward might be under that point number 5 as we try to rebound and recover from the impacts of the past 12 months?
Thank you. That's a great question. I'll start by just going a little bit back to your comment about those three areas that kind of tie it all together. We call those shared commitments. And before we came up with these 5 priorities, we worked with many school boards and others around the state to say, before we decide on our priorities, we all have to agree to shared commitments to these priorities. So we established a common vision and a shared commitment that we would work together on these priorities. And so those three shared commitments are really fundamental to us being successful in these priorities. And I appreciate you mentioning those and bringing those up. And those are in the full Alaska Education Challenge document. And they are very important because only by being committed together can we achieve what we need to. Safety and well-being, research indicates that schools that are warm, inviting, secure, build meaningful relationships with every student, staff member. They address both the physical safety needs, but also the health and mental needs. One way the department has addressed this is really, again, not something we've done on our own. We worked with the Alaska Association of School Boards and created something called the Trauma-Informed Framework. And we've created a toolkit to go with that. You can go to our website, and there may even be another slide in the presentation here. I forgot about it. But we have a website where you can go and click on all of the components of that framework and learn more about how you can implement that in the classroom and schools in supporting the social and emotional well-being of students. We also have online training for teachers associated with that, but many have participated in. And I think today we can get you more information, but we've had requests for 6,000 copies total for this framework. And so it's out there. I know I've done some webinars with national organizations that have been interested in that work. It's received attention in other places of the country. So that's one way that I think we can move forward together. Working on that is utilizing that framework that was developed. And just a huge shout out to the Alaska Association of School Boards for their vision and commitment to that work also.
I still remember your welcoming speech in the Dyna Center before the 120-odd collection of folks from all over the state in the executive life groups. And I'm able to find that speech because I recall that it moved me. If you can tell me where to find the recording of that, I would really appreciate it. Also, the trauma-informed framework, I believe last year, the department and make sure that every member of the committee got that handsome document with a page in it. Or, I think I can put my hands on it in my office, but if you would make sure that the members of the committee have a copy, because it does inform our work. I recall that that was a big discovery in the amputation challenge and how much attention needs to be paid to the trauma impacts on our students and families around the state in order to educate our children effectively. So I appreciate that. Let's go to questions from Representative Bill.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Commissioner. This might be an impossible question, but we're looking at our kids to be able to read presented by third grade. So my wife and my daughter have all been really involved with my grandkids and my kids, and so they have a lot of reading at home. Is there any way or anything we can do, or that the school district can do to get the parents more involved?
Thank you, thank you, Representative Dillon. I look forward to working with you and getting to know you as I have other members of the committee. So thank you for that question. The answer is absolutely yes. There's multiple ways for that to happen. I'll bring up one that I'm talking about and think is a great program, and that's both parents and teachers. So I just want to express something to you, and I'll give you a couple of conversations that you're talking about. So I am more excited than I've ever been because of the great work that's happened. But over the past year, just very briefly, I have lots more to talk to you about. We've signed agreements with, for example, Connect Tribal Education Agency, Canada Seas, specifically to work together to keep exploring and figuring out legislation and other things around tribal contracting. It's complex. It really is complex in terms of legislation and what that looks like. Had great conversations with Greg. We're in conversations with Privilege. And they're already doing some amazing work in education out there.
That's very important to me. I always think our education community is more than education, which I think I am, which is really important what we're doing here, as the future citizens helping to grow for us. So, to me, it's just so good to be working on those and asking questions. And I know we've talked later in the packet about reading and why that is such a focus for our state. And I'm hoping that you can read it.
Thank you, Roxanne. It's good to see you also. A great question. means that, you know, we can continue that work and continue to assess and get information that you're talking about there. So, right question and all of those components that you mentioned, it is relevant when we have situational awareness as we move into effectively implementing any legislation when they pass the legislature. I'm sorry, Chair. I just said the State Board also just recently updated their early learning statement just as part of that work moving forward.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, Commissioner. I'm just really excited to be sitting on this committee as a graduate of our public schools. And then our university, I teach from one of the several regional school boards. I kind of have a pretty good view of what's going on. And then there's just a few things here. I was looking at number two. I really think, especially in rural schools, focusing on vocational and life skills is critical out there. Because in order for us to be successful in our education system, we're going to need to develop our natural resources, create those opportunities for those kids to learn. And going to number five, we really need to focus on not only the well-being of our kids, but we need to make sure that we teach our kids how to be resilient and have the proper coping skills to deal with anything that life throws at them. So, going through some of the issues that I've had through as a teacher and stuff, I really think those are skills that we're missing in school, and I know that is obviously because of funding and having the right counselors in our school, but seeing the issues that happen, especially during this pandemic, when kids are out of school, is a lot of issues that we're dealing with. So I would really love to sit down and talk with you about those kind of things in all of our schools. Thank you.
Publications. as a frequently set item during my phone session. And on the early learning program side, we've got a number of hot topic, and we have a number of dedicated web pages that help provide information about each program and our grant that receives state funding. We also recently produced a very detailed white paper on the federal health care program, which includes information about the state's new equitable funding formula, which was a result of legislative intent language included in the operating budget in 2019. And last, I'll just end this slide by noting that we have a very experienced and longstanding fiscal team here at the department who are always available to help provide the committee with specific funding presentations. And I'm excited to have Dr. Tuchman with us later on to kind of kick that off. So if there are no questions, we can continue on to the slide 11. Thank you. So on slide 11, due to some constituent resource highlights in the committee, the vast majority of calls that we receive here at our front desk are from constituents who have questions about teacher certification requirements. We have a dedicated team here to support our access educators with their certification needs, and we host many informational resources on our website. Some of those include a number of online renewal options for educators, as well as access to mandatory trainings through the department's e-learning course catalog. Last year, DEED's e-learning program provided more than 60 trainings to districts at no cost, and now serves more than 27,000 school district employees. The most heavily trafficked courses continue to lead us focusing on school health and safety topics. And if any of your offices are interested in previewing the e-learning course catalog, please let us know and we can help get you access to that curriculum. In the fall of 2019, the department launched an online guide portal specifically for Alaska's families entitled The Compass, a guide to Alaska's schools. The purpose of the online portal is to provide Alaska's families with important information about their child's school so they can make the best decisions for their child's educational experience. The Compass presents school-level data that's reported to the department by districts in an easily accessible and understandable online format. For example, visitors can view a profile of their individual school. They can compare their school's performance data over multiple years. They can compare two schools in their district or neighboring district and explore educational options in their local school district and across the state. The website also includes an option for the public to provide feedback, and we're very eager to continue to grow and enhance the features on this webpage. Last year, I wanted to point out specifically for the committee that we expanded the information available on the Compass to include data relating to per pupil expenditures of federal, state, and local funds. And that was done in accordance with the new federal education requirements in the Every Student Succeeds Act, also known as ESSA. And with that, if there are no questions, I'm happy to turn it back over to the commissioner and let him continue with the presentation. Thank you.
I do want to say that I made a note to myself to send all of these links out in any emails to my constituents. Thank you very much. This is great information. Teachers, our administrators, parents, and so many others have embraced
these challenging times, we at the department remain committed to providing an excellent education for every single student in our state. And I want to say that everything I will say here and in any future hearing about our COVID response is based on exceptional partnerships that we have had with many others. Compared to other states that I have observed and been part of meetings with, the collaboration and communication that has taken place in Alaska with districts, educational partners, has been truly remarkable. And I want to, this is a great time to just thank the teachers, thank our school administrators, our parents, our educational partners that I'll talk about, our advocates, that have been relentless. They have been relentless in facing the challenges of COVID-19 and creating opportunity for students. So, thanks to the coordination efforts of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, we have held regular or weekly meetings with superintendents, principals, fellow education stakeholder organizations throughout the entire pandemic. Those meetings have regularly included medical staff, including Dr. Zing, Dr. McLaughlin, and Dr. Olson. Thanks especially to the partnership with DHSS, the Department of Health and Social Services. They hired dedicated medical staff that were available to support school districts and schools. So many hours has Dr. Olson spent on the phone with individual principals, superintendents, and others, providing them with information. And again, just want to shout out the many, many tribal health organizations that have partnered with their local school district through this and the folks that work there. DHSS has held weekly echo sessions. That's a kind of a webinar to help all kinds of stakeholders, from superintendents to folks involved in community sporting events, make decisions for the pandemic. A couple of more things. Thanks to the partnership of the Southeast Regional Resource Center and the Region 16 Comprehensive Center, Dave was able to quickly stand up a number of resources and webinar series on a website called eklearns.org. That continues to be a hub and sort of a clearinghouse of resources for teachers and families that are still dealing with the pandemic. One specific example of one of the webinar series is called Beyond the Bell, an after-school opportunity for secondhand topics on all sorts of things, even webinars for school maintenance staff on how to deal with pandemic, bus drivers, others. I want to say a big thanks to the partnership with the Alaska Education Association in Indiana, Alaska. Dave has just really enjoyed our partnership with them to provide access to something called the Alaska Learns Commons. It's a statewide shared warehouse full of K-12 course content that's even now being developed. For all educators, they can access it on a learning management system called Canvas. It includes course uploads that are reviewed by Alaska educators. And I'll share more about this a little bit more on the next slide, but I also look forward to you hearing from teachers that are part of this development, that are actually managing it and developing this shared commons. The School Boards Association, friends of this committee that I know you know well, has hosted virtual meetings for school board members dealing with legal issues and other topics associated with response to the pandemic. The department just worked with philanthropy to get hundreds of thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer, donated PPE, and other resources for school districts that have been sent out to them. The major focus, as you know, of our COVID response initially was the Start 2020. The reopening schools. We and our partners realized last spring that the fall would be a challenging time. And so you have a lot of logistics associated with operating schools during the pandemic. So to give them as much time as possible, we published with DHSS the Start 2020 framework for district. So we'll make sure you get that link too so that you can go and see the district's Smart Start 2020 plans. With that, the next slide is one more slide on COVID response. As you know, in March of last year, we stood up the Erasmus statewide virtual system. This was to provide information, resources, and leadership during the spring closure. So that project had different phases around the state. We have initially thought we would provide training for 50 teachers, but with our partnership with Canvas and blending all that together, over 300 teachers have been trained in online delivery. 37 districts are part of that platform and requested access. And then, as I mentioned, Canvas. Canvas is a learning management system that brings all of us together for districts. We have secured that platform for the next two school years, so the rest of this school year and the next two school years, so that educators can get credit of that it's exciting to see the development and how that's going to continue to benefit teachers and students for the next several years. Currently, there are 25 districts actively using this learning management system, 70,000 individual teacher and student access to that and counting. Just yesterday, I got a text from one of the teachers managing this, but another district is coming online. And so I look forward to the committee learning much more about that in future hearings. With that, the next slide, and we'll move on to I know you guys have more about enrollment and funding and CARES Act funding, and so I'll save that for if we don't get today. I know you'll have a hearing on that because there's lots of important information that the committee needs to hear about the impact of enrollment.
Conference.
speak, and critical persons as well. But on that same level, it has to stick with an arduous system with a different learning delivery model for teachers in here, and that also available for support staff. And other support staff, I think that one of our partnerships in schools, not only working to make sure that all of the staff in schools are really educated, but just the certification certification are getting that additional learning.
Thank you for your support. That was great questions. And yes, thank you for making that point. We could not bring schools without our support staff, so they absolutely are critical. And that includes instructional aides, bus drivers, cooks, school nurses, school secretaries, all the folks that make the system work. And yes, they can't have access to Canvas. That's why we purchased the statewide license. They can sign up, through their district. I think, districts manage those. It's through their email address. We can get some folks that can give you more information about how that works. It's probably somewhat unique in each district. But their statewide license provides for that.
Perspective is this, like, one year, and talk to my administered 2021, but the federal government postponed that because of the pandemic.
same number of features of that. That work matter to just go through the slides that I've already talked about there.
Okay, so I'm on slide 17, and you can see there only about 25% of students in Alaska performed at or above the proficient level, and unfortunately, Alaska was ranked 50 out of 50. And so, you know, again, this is an assessment that is given in every state, and so whatever you think about the assessment, we still just don't compare well with other states. Slide 18 is about 8th grade reading, so that was 4th grade reading, 8th grade reading. It's about 23%, or 47 out of 50. Slide number 19 is math in 4th grade. We did a bit better in math, but still not as where we want to be, 33%, at or above. Slide 20 is 8th grade math, so the pattern here is 4th grade reading, 8th grade reading, 4th grade math, 8th grade math, and about 29% of students perform at or above proficient. And this was like a 2019 administration of the, which obviously was before the pandemic. Slide 21 steps away from that national assessment to an assessment that's unique to Alaska, which is our PEAKS assessment, the performance evaluation for Alaska's schools. We administer that in grades 3 through 9, and the science is, we administer science assessment in grades 4, 8, and 10. So approximately 76,000 students participated in the spring 19 administration. We did not administer our PEAKS in 2020 because of the pandemic. This assessment is tied to the federal funding we receive, and so tens of millions of dollars are tied to this, not in terms of the outcomes that we administer the unique statewide assessment. And so you can see the results there, and also on slide 22, which breaks down the English and math scores. And so before going to slide 23, I'll just close there and see if we're going to press or somebody has a question.
And it seems to be trying to be the wrong person. So, and I don't know how else to raise the points, but the first question is that the 8th test, that is a national test, is that based on just a determined standard, or somebody's determined the standard for proficiency, or is that? Is it compared to the standard or compared to everyone else? I guess that's the right question for the main question.
Thank you, Richard, of course. So, the answer is both. So, there is actually a national, it's called the NAEP Governing Board. So, there's governors, educators, all sorts of people on that board. And they set the standard for what's going to be assessed, and it's kind of a general average kind of reading and math assessment. We give assessments in other subjects too, but we haven't participated in those. And then the reporting of the results is comparative with other states. So we do a statistical sampling in every state, and then we come up with the reports, and it comparability comes in among other states and some territories.
You mentioned that the PEAK testing was unique to Alaska, and really it is tied to federal funding, which you don't understand why something unique to Alaska would be tied to federal funding.
Thank you, Chair. So, in the mid-60s,
follow up on this a little bit later to understand that better, but then I'm going to get ahead of causes and what the
effects. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. I'm sure you know that follow up in terms of assessments, generally speaking. Commissioner, I have a couple more questions for Representative Hopkins and then Representative Story.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor. Kind of brought similarly for Kenneth Brock up and talked more about Judy if there's a rule ceremony as the Secretary of State questions more in the future. So, what are the scale of the 17 years for that 20? The scale itself is 500 with the cost for 190 and building for 240. And so, we see a difference of more 16 for the
Yeah. Thank you.
fraud is an aggravator. We don't have any legal elements, but there we are at 18. And all of the other assessments that we're using, Nichols, and the other districts are using those, when we know our technical components for the learning and reading. And then, referring to our university system, and the question of how do we work with the College of Education, looking at their reading program, making sure that the components of a strong reading program, how do we switch from the reading programs that we're starting the foundation of the Left to Read Act components in that, is where we look at going, and I think it would be excellent for the community to hear from the College of Education on how they teach reading. As you know, we're hoping to get more of our teachers from our university system here. So I think we're doing a lot of pushing.
Thank you very much for the story. Thank you. So, in terms of the university, yes, but I had a call with President Pitney. Talked with her a couple weeks ago. Be back at full schedule with her even tomorrow or Friday. So we are communicating regularly. We're working on making sure the Board of Regents and Board of Education are communicating and collaborating and discussing some of the issues you just mentioned. Another example, I think, of that ongoing work is I had a call with many of you know Pussy Burns. She and I talked recently, and our camera, I forget how long we talked, but it was focused on teacher preparation, specifically around reading instruction. And if you know Pussy, she's done lots of research already and has communicated with many folks about that, both in state and out of state. And so it is a topic of conversation and partnership and collaboration and work that's going forward and will continue to be.
Thank you. Thank groups that are sort of taking the measure. I don't have any more questions at this time, so we'll go to
you. All right, well, thank you so much. And we're getting close to the end of the slides here. But slide 23 is just, you know, after those assessment results and what many of you have just said, it's a call to action. It's not an impossible challenge. It's an opportunity for improvement. And I think that we have the people and the resources to face that challenge together. And so here's a few examples. I think I've maybe you mentioned these all throughout, but here's just a very quick thing. Where the department is focusing some attention on these priorities. One is, I already mentioned that over $20 million grant we got on literacy state development, working with 16 districts. There's other work around literacy and reading. Another example is our redesign of the state system to support coaching program, which is currently underway under the leadership of Dr. Van Brand. That's targeting training for principals and school staff teachers designed to support literacy, leadership in schools, early reading instruction, and the use of data to inform how we can best address problems at 4K. More about that from Dr. Van Roy. And then another is we received another $9.1 million project AWARE grant. That's advancing wellness and resiliency in education. We received that grant in September of this last year, 2020. So many people didn't hear about it because of all the other pandemic news, but it's from the Federal Assistance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. This project is the second project award grant that has been awarded in the last number of years. And this grant will assist the state in improving mental health by growing mental health literacy, reducing mental health stigma, strengthening early identification and intervention for student mental health conditions, as well as providing more robust services for students in a number of districts and then hopefully being a model for other places in the state. So, ultimately, those are just three examples, but I think the more important thing to know is that it's going to take all of us, all of our students, both public educators, community members, working together to ensure that every student has equitable opportunity to succeed in learning. to talk about things in the future. When we confront these challenges, every person on this committee has ideas worth discussing. How do we resource an excellent education for every student every day without jeopardizing our responsibility to future students? How do we manage all that? How can we make funding when we are spending work better for students, even as we consider what needs are out there? How do we rebuild and recover from COVID? And how can we be more transparent so we invite more folks into a commitment to our public education system? And so, with that, thank you again that you gave us the opportunity in this your opening hearing. Look forward to all of that information with your Friday from school districts. That will be a rich conversation, and I look forward to working with each of you. You have our contact information there. So thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members.
special.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. Good morning, Chair Dolan and members of the House Education Committee. It's great to be in front of you this morning. And before I get started, Chair, you are going to be done by 10 a.m., correct?
That's correct. I apologize. Next is an update on FY21 student enrollment counts and COVID-19 federal relief fund funding. Dr. Amy Cashman, Director of Finance and Support Services, with Nelson Sanders, Administrative Director, and Ina Levine, State Manager, Affiliation for the Record, and the presentation. Thank you.
Absolutely. For the record, my name is Heidi Tischer. I am the Director of Finance and Support Services with the Department of Education Early Development. And I know we probably won't get through all of my portion this morning, but my intent to present to you is an update on the fiscal year 21 statewide enrollment counts, provide the committee with an explanation of our foundation payment and advance process, briefly address our federal impact aid disparity test, as well as give an update on a couple of state-funded programs that are also affected by the shifts in student enrollments. And obviously, we'll have the FLAC portion of the COVID-19 federal relief funding, but you will have that at a future date. We can proceed to slide 3, and I will start the meat of my presentation.
You know, I don't know if you have seen the screen behind us, but I can let you know. If you don't have the slide, can you email or let you know about that?
That's fine, and I do have a copy of the slides in front of me, so I think we're good. So starting at slide 3, so the legislature has provided in a formulary statute for funding the school operational costs. This is referred to as the public school funding formula, or more commonly known as the foundation formula. It was adopted under Senate Bill 36 in 1998 and implemented in 1999, and is defined in Alaska Statute Title 14, Chapter 17. The funding for each district is a combination of state aid, required local contribution to federal impact aid. And note that regional educational attendance areas, also referred to as REAAs, do not have a local contribution, and there are 19 REAA districts in Alaska. The school district is only eligible for foundation funding as calculated under the formula and set out in Alaska Statute 14-17-410. And just to confirm with the chair, we can have slide 4. For reference, so the first step in determining state aid for a district is determining the average daily membership or the ADM of each school. So for reference, you will provide, we provided you a couple links on this slide. The first link takes you to the school finance website. Where you can drill down to the foundation funding formula website. There's various publications, historical average daily membership data, state aid, based on allocation history, annual foundation reports, and the disparity test memos and explanations. In addition, the committee has been provided with two supplemental handouts. There is an 8-page document titled Public School Funding Program Overview, which walks through each step of the formula and is also the second link provided on this slide. And then there's a one-page document titled Alaska Public School Funding Foundation Formula History that outlines changes to the funding formula over time. And if there are no questions, we can proceed to slide 5.
We're going to go to Tampa Park one.
That's great.
And we will continue this later
day.
In order to determine state aid, districts must submit their state account data, their average daily number, membership to the department within 2 weeks after the count card ends. This is in accordance with Alaska Statute 1470-1617-608. For the 2020-21 school year, count period, those numbers were due to the department on November 6th. So, based on statute, the student count data for the count period is the starting point for our calculations that we determine state aid for each school district. If there are no questions, we can move on to slide 6.
Overall, AAM decrease of
5% increase compared to our fiscal year 21 projected. And then our overall adjusted average daily membership is showing an increase of 5,698.09, or a 2.2% increase compared to fiscal year 21. In slide 9 of your presentation, provide a glance at the factors that determine our district adjusted ADM, the statewide adjusted ADM, which is the total RC there. And then I just want to point out to the committee that the factors that are contributing to the increase in adjusted average daily membership is due to changes in our school size, ADMs, whole harmless provision, and shifts in correspondence. So shifting from brick and mortar to correspondence. All of these have contributed to that increase that you're seeing in adjusted ADM. Are there any questions on this slide or anything that I've said so far?
And there's probably a lot more detail that we would want to go into. I think my only question would be, do we know where that 1,907 have gone on in the total ADM reduction? Have they left the state? Have they gone to private schools? I know some districts do, lack of a better word, exit interviews of students that have left the district. If you could talk to them, can you speak to that?
Yes, Madam Chair. The department doesn't collect data. So once a student is enrolled in a public school, we don't actually know where they've gone. We do know that districts, through exit interviews, if they've done it, do know if a student has left the state or gone to a private grad school or a private correspondence program or other non-Alaska public school system. So we don't specifically know where those students have gone, but I know that we could, if you have districts in front of you, they can easily answer that question. For the chair, Representative Story, we can try to ask you see what we can get for this committee.
Thank you. I do know that the state demographer has their families, lots of families have left the state. So obviously students will be also leaving the state. Students going back to brick and mortar and 31% of course parents in the foundation is the same students leaving. But how did you arrive at those projections?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Brett. So those numbers, those projected numbers, are provided directly by districts. So it's what districts project that their enrollments will look like in the following year. So every November, they analyze the trends that they've had and the credits and conversations that they've had. I know that a lot of districts have heard from parents that they do want their kids to come back to the brick and mortar if they have gone to the correspondence. So this is all provided directly from districts. And we just compile the data for the budgeting purposes. There's actually no student ID directly behind each of these numbers. It is strictly a count that districts
up. I appreciate your work thus far. We will continue this presentation in a few minutes, which we will soon announce. Our next meeting is this Friday here in room 106. It's a special time meeting where we will be joining with the Senate Education Committee to hear a presentation on the emerging issues from the field by the Advisory Council of School Administrators and Associated Organizations. With that, we are adjourned at 10 a.m.